The number of bombing victims still in Boston's hospitals and trauma centers continues to go down. Scores have gone home or to rehab facilities. That's true of even the grievously wounded mother and daughter we met on this program yesterday. The mother, Celeste Corcoran, had both her legs amputated, while her daughter Sydney, a high school senior, had nearly bled to death after being struck by shrapnel. NPR's Richard Knox has the story of this next phase of their recovery.
Celeste Corcoran is impatient to get on with her life.
This is the worst part, you know, the waiting to heal, because there's basically nothing I can do. It's just allowing my body to heal right now.
The next phase of Celeste's recovery will be a kind of holding pattern, says her surgeon, William Creevy.
Making sure that the wounds heal, that she maintains her mobility, that she does exercises so that she doesn't lose her aerobic fitness.
She can't be fitted with her first set of artificial legs for 6 to 8 weeks. Then she'll begin a long period when the stumps of her own legs change constantly as muscles shrink.
The limb changes size and the prosthesis has to be adjusted and adjusted and adjusted. Usually it eventually doesn't fit, and then somewhere, you know, maybe around 6, 8, or 9 months, you have to make another prosthesis.
She might not be steady on that second set of legs until next spring. 18-year-old Sydney will have a faster convalescence. She didn't require an amputation, but her right leg was severely damaged. Surgeon Alec Farber says a razor-sharp piece of metal the size of an iPhone, probably a fragment of the pressure cooker used to make the bomb, sliced through major blood vessels in Sydney's thigh.
The hole in her thigh was the size of a small melon. It was very large. Even when we controlled the main artery and vein, there was a lot of bleeding from the muscle because the shrapnel really did a job on her muscle.
Farber says they were able to close the wound without a skin graft. Despite damage to her leg and foot, he says she'll be okay.
I think that she's going to recover well. It's hard to predict, but I suspect that she's going to recover most, if not all, function.
But the healing is not just physical. The Corcorans have to recover emotionally as well. That involves coping with feelings about the people who did this to them. Celeste has complicated feelings toward Jahar Tsarnaev, the surviving brother accused of the crime. That includes anger.
I mean, on some level, sure, that's a natural reaction, you know, like, if they didn't do that, I wouldn't be like this. But I pity them. Like, I don't wish them any ill.
You would not want him to have the death penalty?
I wouldn't want to be the one to make that decision. If our legal system were to come to that end, then so be it. But I'm glad that I don't have to be his judge and jury.
Most of all, Celeste wants to put Tsarnaev out of her mind.
What he did affected in my life, but I don't want him to affect my life anymore. I don't want to waste time thinking of this person.
Sydney Corcoran's feelings are different.
I am angry, and I don't think that there's going to be a time where I won't be. Maybe it will fade, but I think a part of me will always be a little angry.
She definitely doesn't think Tsarnaev should be condemned to death if he's convicted.
I think, like, it's just too barbaric, and I would just wish that the younger boy would just live out his life and just have to live with the fact that he did this. I don't think that a death penalty would help. I would rather him just live out his life than having to cope with this.
But now it's time for Celeste and Sydney to start the next phase of their recovery.
New beginning.
They're saying goodbye to Boston Medical Center, passing through the emergency department where they arrived 17 days ago at the height of the crisis.
These are some of the nurses that took care of you and your daughter on Monday. There's nurses, there's doctors, there's residents.
I don't know if you know the impact that you have in everybody's life. You know, you see people come and go, and you don't get to do this every day. And maybe people can't thank you, you know, but we thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
We want to be proud of her. She was incredible.
All right, we ready? I got to stop crying.
So now it's off by ambulance to Spalding Rehabilitation Hospital on Boston Harbor.
Bye.
Richard Knox, NPR News, Boston.